This is Bootstrapped Web, episode 75. It's the podcast for you, the founder who learns by doing as you're bootstrapping your business online. And good to be back. A little bit late on this one, but that's okay. We're catching up. And Jordan, good to have you back on the show here.
Thanks, man. Really good to be back. The lateness is my fault. The I don't know how many weeks I've missed, so I apologize. But
no, I mean, I think for both of us,
all in pursuit of good cause.
Yeah, both of our schedules are just insane as always with everyone these days. But you know, you see all these like podcasters who just really have their shit together, where they're, you know, they're putting episodes in the can 4 or 6 weeks out. We're recording like day before it comes out. You know.
Look, it's good and bad. Yeah, exactly. It's like it's more real. It's closer to the, you know, to the actual rub.
Yep.
But because of that, we'll fall behind from time to time. And if we travel and whatnot. Anyway, it's good to be back. I'm looking forward to a little update episode. We do have some other shows coming out soon with an interview, and we'll kind of try to get back on track.
Yep. Cool. So before we get into today's updates and hear what we're working on right now, we're just going to read off a couple of new iTunes reviews. We actually had a handful of new ones, but so we really appreciate these. Let me just pull this up here. We've got one from David Lizerbram, 5 stars. He says, looking for info on how to grow and scale your business? You found it. Bootstrapped Web is a reliable source for solid info and insight from founders. Brian and Jordan know how to get right to the key insights on scalability, productization, and all the important turning points in the evolution of a startup. So thank you, David, for that one. And we've got one more here from Jay Finn, 5 stars. He says, it's worth its weight in gold. Are you trying to make a living online by developing a web-based service? Then stop right now and subscribe. These two accomplished tech entrepreneurs pull no punches in sharing their learning experiences. They've earned their stripes in the trenches,
man.
And transmit their knowledge in a candid, truthful way. And the transcripts to this show should be etched in gold bricks.
Gold is very expensive these days, so that's high praise. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So is doing transcripts too, by the way, which we don't really do.
True. That's actually worth its weight in gold, right there.
Exactly.
Cool,
so,
man.
Well, thank you guys.
Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it, and we enjoyed doing it. So let's get right into it. What is going on this week, Mr. Gal?
Okay, so I was in New York last week. And worked with Ben, right, my co-founder, in person, and we find that very valuable. It's kind of a pain, especially, you know, with kids and all that. It's not fun to be away from the kids for a few days, but working in person has a very different dynamic, and it like accelerates things, and it creates this, you know, like a bonding experience, and the intensity goes up and the optimism goes up. So we have been trying to make sure that we work together in person at least once every like 4 to 6 weeks. So I was just in New York last week, and that was really, really interesting. And man, the networking in New York City is just, I mean, I'm out here in Portland, Oregon, and you think, oh, it's just the web, you know, it's all the same. You're kind of networking online, but in person is another thing, man. You establish relationships on another level, and New York just puts so many people all within a subway ride away. So I just basically was meeting people, you know, all day, having lunch with people from my e-commerce mastermind, talking to potential customers who were in the city, working with my co-founder in person.
And NYC just
it was a great experience.
NYC has this energy, man. It's just I grew up in New York, and still every single time I end up in Manhattan, it's this energy that feels new. It feels exciting. It's always like bigger than you think. And
it's like awesome. The soul. It's the center of American like optimism and entrepreneurship, and like anything is possible. You know, there are huge differences between our mindset and other countries. Like, we just look at the bright side, we see what's possible, we try to be optimistic, and New York just encapsulates that at such a grand level. Now, we met with some people, you know, it's like the 38th floor of World Trade 7. Like, I mean, this, it's just like, it's made of money. It's just, it's so much money.
Yeah.
The offices are ridiculous.
That's insane.
Like the whole feel, you're looking out over the World Trade Center area. We're just staring right at the Freedom Tower. It just gives you so much energy, and it changes your ambition level. Like you don't want to play ball at a lower level when you're just surrounded by that, which I just like that feeling.
Yeah, totally.
So that was great. But now back in the saddle, and now it's basically it's marketing time, baby. So we've got a bunch of initiatives happening at the same time, and I think it'd be cool to just kind of walk through my general thinking being in this, you know, in this particular situation. So
yeah, well, actually, before you get right started, I know, like, just a catch up from a couple of weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago, the last time you were talking about your current marketing strategies for Carthook. Like, I know that you were doing some cold email outreach and some cold calling outreach. Like, how much of that is active, and like, are you starting up new things right now, or what's going on?
Yes. So we did a lot of outbound sales, and I think, you know, what I've said previously about it is it was effective in a few different ways. Was it the most cost effective way to add revenue? No. But it was really great for learning. So you just talk to so many prospects and potential customers all in a short period of time that it just teaches you not only about the market, what you need to say, what they're interested in, but also about the process. Like, what happens when this type of person comes along? What happens when someone's really interested, but they tell you they're not quite interested yet? What happens when someone starts and has this problem? What happens when someone starts and everything goes smoothly? Yeah. What needs to... So all
and
this stuff is
you start to develop the key
now,
answers to the common objections, which you can then start to use in all your marketing.
Right. Little things. And also in the sales process. So little things like, we now have an automated email that goes out to me at the minute someone captures over $500 in recovered revenue from their card abandonment campaign. Right. So that triggers me. Hey, pay attention to this person. This is looking like a good potential person to convert to a paying customer. So it's like a heads up.
Yep.
Right. So, and we found that that's really important, because that's when I should reach out and say, hey, you're doing great. I'm here for you. Here's my contact info. Do you want to jump on a call? So instead of saying to everybody, do you want to jump on a call? Now we're starting to identify who are the bright prospects to do that.
Yeah, that's smart.
So all that stuff came out of the outbound sales. So what happened was we hit a wall. When we went for lower end customers, we got demos nonstop. 5, 6, 7, 8 demos a week, no problem. The second we tried to go up market a little bit, we hit a wall. We hit gatekeepers. Nobody wants to let people through. So now we're taking a different approach. Now we're doing outbound sales to a webinar. So we're adding one layer of value between our initial contact and asking for the sale. So now instead of like, come see a demo of our software, it's, we're putting on a webinar next week on this. Are you interested in joining? It's just outbound sales for webinar. It's like the same thing as Facebook ads.
Nice.
But you know, my man in the Philippines is doing the pulling.
Awesome.
So what's happening is now we are investing in the longer term assets. So we're designing the marketing site and the copy and the positioning and the pricing and everything that goes with our real marketing site, and not like our pseudo landing page with a pricing page attached to it. We hired a writer for the blog. And now, so those two things are long-term, right? A marketing site and a blog, those things are not going to pay off next month. So what we're trying to do is think through if that's going to be hugely important 6 months from now, a year from now. That's where most of the inbound leads are going to be coming from a few months from now. What do we need to do now so that sales don't stall? We got to keep moving. We got to get revenue up. So on the shorter term side of things, I'm doing two things. And some of this comes from Rob Walling. I can give him some credit for a conversation that I had with Rob. Doing podcasts, being a guest on someone's podcast is an amazingly efficient way to do marketing. Right, it's not the most amazing thing ever. It doesn't last forever. It's not.
Right.
I mean,
it's kind
of
not super scalable or not totally repeatable, but it's something that you can definitely do for a couple months at a time and just put an initial jolt in there.
Right, because think about what goes into the marketing site. I've been working on this, you know, a lot of hours, blog posts, funnels, and Facebook campaigns. That stuff takes time. A podcast takes about an hour, maybe a little bit of scheduling, but then you show up and you talk about something that you already know and talk about all day anyway. And then that gives us a jolt of leads and some more customers. So right now, we don't need that many new customers every month to call the month a success, right? Incrementally, the need goes up over time. But in these first few months, we don't need that much. So I'm doing a little podcast tour. The other thing I'm doing is starting our own Carthook podcast. And we've talked about this previously. We talked about how investing in a podcast is a great idea, but it's also very long-term. Yeah. At the same time, when you have someone on as a guest, they go out and they tell their people also.
Yeah.
So it does have some short-term effect.
Yeah, and if you engineer the launch of the podcast in those very first few episodes, get on New and Noteworthy in iTunes, that's a big splash as well.
Right. Yeah. So, and that's what I'm trying to do with basically just using my contacts and connections and asking people for favors to get as high profile of people as possible as the first 5, 6, 10 guests. That way, the magnifying effect at first can have a big impact. So that's what we're trying to do in the short term. And the last thing we're trying to do short term is Facebook ads. So now that this webinar funnel is set up for our caller to drive people to, now the funnel's also similarly set up for Facebook ads to drive people to the landing page as opposed to my man in the Philippines sending a link by email. So we'll add that in, and that'll be short-term while we work on the longer-term stuff of the marketing site and the blog. So that's kind of like our marketing mindset over the next few weeks.
Very cool.
Yeah, and so that's the majority of my attention. And the last thing I think is instructive that I think I would have liked to hear a few months ago, we are transitioning our billing. So we are changing pricing on everybody. So I think the lesson here is that nothing is permanent. Nothing is forever. No mistake or no decision, lasts forever. Things are fixable. So we started off with a variable pricing. Now we're switching everyone over to fixed. So,
for those who aren't totally familiar with Carthook, what do you mean by variable pricing? It's based on the amount of revenue that it's recovering?
Correct. So it used to be based on the amount of revenue that you recover, and it had a cap. So it'd be like 10% of recovered revenue capped at $249 a month. So if you recovered $1,000, you'd pay us $100. If you recovered $10,000, you'd be capped at $249. Cool. So it was a great sell. The problem is, to maintain, it started to become a nightmare, and we decided, you know what? We're not going to be able to grow. There's too much friction. There's too much to deal with. So now we went back to all of our customers on the variable pricing and said, we need to let you know we're switching over to fixed. So it sounds very painful, and it has been a decent amount of work. But as long as you, A, most importantly, had good, solid relationships with those early customers, that they know you, they've heard from you, you've emailed them, you've helped them fix things, you provided support, you provided them value, everyone is very, very accommodating because they know you're working hard on that end. And if they have to pay, on a flat basis instead of variable, even though that's what they were interested in first, they'll let you get away with it because they know you're a good business person that's been looking out for them for a long time.
Well, what are the new price points? And did you base the new price points off of how it's really going to impact those customers, looking at what their new ROI is going to be? And I guess for some customers, it'll be a slight price increase, some maybe a decrease.
So
how is that going
to
play
out? I'm not allowing it to be a price increase is the short answer. So what I'm saying is, hey, up until now, you've paid us according to the variable pricing. We're switching over. Over the last 6 months, on the variable plan, you've paid us an average of X, call it $100. I'd like to offer you $79 a month. I'm basically doing a 20% discount to go down to the fixed. And we're going to lose some money because of it, but it's so much healthier for the business that we don't care. So we're switching it, but we're also giving them a better deal than what they've paid over the past 6 months. So you can see how it's kind of easy to say.
Yeah, that sounds like a bonus.
and for us, it's such a huge relief.
Is that because you're seeing some customers have they go through periods throughout the year where their revenue dips, and that means they're paying Carthook less?
What was happening was that our revenue had too much variance. So a customer would pay us $250 one month, and then he'd pay us $40 the month after, and then $250 the next month. And it's just like not healthy for anyone, not for us to maintain, not for us to grow the business with a stable, reliable revenue source. So it needed to happen. So the transition has been incredibly interesting. It's gotten me in touch with everybody. It's gotten me to really think about how much I appreciate these people that came in so early on, that you know, that I want to give them a good deal. It's been really interesting. But I think the big lesson from it is, you make the decisions you need to make at the time you need to make them, and just know, as long as you do right by these people, you can change your mind on just about anything, as long as you're fair.
Totally.
Yep.
And still, the cost, like, it's not even like they're, I mean, you've established this relationship, you've given them so much value already. The price increase is not, I mean, it's not a price increase. It's really a price decrease. You know, I think we're all, I know I've always been afraid to touch prices and tweak them, even the slightest bit, you know, but I think it's less scary than it needs to be.
Yep. Yep. And yeah. And the further,
because at the end of the day, the customer is like, look, it still works. I'm not going to.
Right. And you're going to give me a better deal over what I've been paying anyway. So yes, most people are saying yes. We have very few dropouts, and the people that we have dropping out, very frankly, we are healthier and better off for them having dropped out, which isn't cool to say, but you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's my
good stuff.
That's my plea. Good update. How about you? You got a few things going on, Brian.
Oh man. So crazy. too many things going on.
Luxuriating in the sun over there in Connecticut. I can see you on Skype, but
yeah. Well, it probably looks a lot more like that on the screen, but it's I hope that it's not too noisy out here on the podcast. I'm sitting out in my backyard here, but fine.
I was saying you look very calm. What's going on? But you have a lot you're dealing with. So tell us about it.
This is Audience Ops. About four weeks in or so since we like officially launched to like paying customers and everything. So as of today, we have actually 6 paying customers on board with Audience Ops, which is, I mean, like that's like 5 more than I really expected to have within the first 4 weeks, which is crazy. Cool. And it's, I mean, it's great. It's exciting. We actually have two more clients who are what I'm calling like waitlisted, who've like said like we're ready to go, and they've agreed, okay, well we could wait like two, three more weeks before we can actually start. You know, I'm just trying to make sure that I have the team in place and we're getting the systems together to be able to make sure that we're serving, you know, all the new customers.
Wow.
So that's just been really exciting. I couldn't be happier with how things are going in terms of sales. Sorry, there's like
that is an airplane.
Overhead, but,
so you have the fabled turning people away. Too many sales too quickly that you can't service them.
Yeah.
You have to be like, okay, you got to wait a little while.
And I have been, I have been quite selective with who we're actually bringing on as paying customers. Like I've been in touch with a number of leads who don't quite fit the target client, which is we're basically serving B2B software companies, some productized services as well, but B2B audiences, entrepreneur marketing, freelancer, professional, like creative professionals, that sort of crowd is the audience for most of our clients. So that's been working out well. We're getting plenty of leads of that type of person, and we're also getting some that are, I think they would be good clients, and maybe we would expand into other areas later, but for now we're just trying to keep it pretty focused. So like the thing that I'm excited about is that it really looks like sales and marketing is not going to be the challenge in this mm-hmm. business.
Service.
At least not early on. I mean, we literally haven't done any marketing yet. Actually, one thing that's kind of bugging me a little bit is that I wanted to launch the Audience Ops blog and email list by now, but we've just been so busy, getting the client stuff together that's getting pushed off. So, like actual marketing, I'm waiting on. I plan to do a bunch of stuff. There's a lot I want to do on that side of things, but right now the focus is just building systems. hiring. I have three writers on board, freelance contract writers who've been great. I'm actually interviewing a few more writers on Monday. So as we're bringing on new clients, I need to bring on, expanding the writing team. At the same time, as we're like delivering the service for the first time through for this first batch of clients, I'm writing procedures like crazy. I'm refining these procedures. I'm making sure that the steps and the systems are really dialed in. We're working with teamwork.com as our project manager. I've got a lot of templates set up in there now. So just really getting the timing and the operation side of things like really dialed in. So I'm heavily in it right now. Like I'm definitely spending, it's like my full-time job, managing this stuff, writing procedures, tweaking this kind of stuff. And the plan would be, in the next 3 to 6 months to remove myself from that side of stuff and bring in a project manager. The interesting thing here is that sales and marketing is not the challenge. The challenge is going to be early on the challenge right now is like operations. How can we make sure things don't fall off the rails and we're actually delivering the quality that we're aiming to do? That's the first challenge. And then later on in the year, I expect the challenge will be scaling. And, what does this look like as the team starts to really grow? And how do we keep that managed?
Six clients to juggle at the same time to produce content for on a weekly basis. I mean, that doesn't sound easy. That's a bunch of organization and planning.
It's definitely very hard. I think one thing that makes it easier is that this is a productized service. So what we're doing is very streamlined and predictable, and we're literally doing the same things for all the clients. And very much on the same schedule too. It's like on a weekly schedule. Like this part of the article production process happens on like Monday and Tuesday, and then it goes to an editor on Wednesday. The graphics get created on Thursday. It gets queued up in an email newsletter and WordPress and social posts by Friday. And so we have this like schedule, making it like a production line. Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, it's Monday. That means we need to start on the blog post for next week for this person. And tomorrow we start on this one. And then the first draft needs to be done by this day. And
yeah, and it's crazy for me to be managing six different clients at once. But the individual writers on the team, each of them currently has two clients that they're assigned to. So it's not as heavy for the individual writers. But it will as we start to grow the client base. And the other thing that I'm juggling a lot of different balls at the same time. So managing the writers, managing the processes. I'm also in the process of hiring a virtual assistant. I used a virtual staff finder for that. This is the first time I actually used that service.
How did that go?
Went great, actually.
So, awesome.
What is it like $500? They source three highly qualified VA candidates. So I don't have to go through the whole process of going like through Odesk and
sifting through
applicants. Yeah. So 2 days ago, I actually, they came back to me after a week. They sent me the three applicants. And I interviewed all three of them, and they're all three are actually really, really solid. I actually might end up hiring two of them.
And this is for a VA position, basically. Like what does that mean for you? Like just managing and organizing and keeping things.
No, they're going to work in audience ops. A lot of the tasks in our production process, they're going to be handling. So
not writing.
Not writing, but they'll be handling some of the image creation, formatting an article and putting it up in WordPress, mm-hmm. Setting up content upgrades, which I'll talk about in just a minute.
Yeah, I want to hear.
I'm kind of calling the position like the technical assistant. Yep. So the writers are in charge of a lot of the creative work and a lot of the strategy and the research stuff. And this person will be handling the technical side of things.
Yeah, there's a bunch of work that needs to get done on that front. And scheduling the blog post, publishing, posting, letting the customer know that it's set up, and there's just a lot of stuff to do.
And we're also doing we're managing the customer's email newsletter. Like we're queuing that up in Drip and sending that out, and also queuing up some social media posts. So the VA will be handling that as well.
Where do I sign up?
Next.
not kidding.
Let's talk soon.
Yeah.
the uh, the other thing that I'm actually really excited about right now, and this is I'm building another product.
You crazy please help us understand. What's the justification here, for God's sake?
So this is actually part of Audience Ops. This is so I'm building a WordPress plugin.
Okay.
And part of what we're doing in Audience Ops for our clients is we're setting up their content upgrades.
So this is, we're going to provide you content, but the point is to get leads. And for that, the content should be married with a content upgrade.
Yes. And so a content upgrade is an opt-in, an email opt-in on an individual article. And there are usually like two calls to action, like one near the top of the article, one near the bottom. Mm-hmm. Hey, here's an article on, you know, best practices of hosting a podcast. You know, download this extra cheat sheet or this extra step-by-step guide to help you implement what we talked about in this article. Here's the opt-in for that.
And are you guys writing the upgrade also?
Yeah. Yeah, we are. And, you know, it's all part of the process of what we do for clients. So, implementing that content upgrade, putting the call to action in the blog post, having that pop up and then like integrate with something like MailChimp or Drip or whatever they're using. So I've set that up on my own blog in the past. I basically just did it custom, you know, set up like a custom call to action and all that. But now that we're doing it for clients, we need an easy way to do that. And I started investigating a few different tools. And there are a few options out there, but I wanted something that we can really control the quality and the layout and the text and all that. So we're building our own, building a plugin, and I actually plan to package this up as a product of its own.
To give away for free or to sell?
Both. So the like the WordPress plugin model, there will be a free version, you know, on WordPress.org, and a pro version, probably with a few extra integrations, a few other interesting features, you know, like I mean, I'll share a little bit more about it in a couple of weeks, but it's actually coming together really fast right now. I'm actually hoping to at least get the version that we're going to be using for our clients done and ready to start using within the next 3 weeks or so. And within 4 to 6 weeks, I'd like to have a version that's ready to put out there, at least as a beta version for users. And, you know, pretty quickly we'll get to a paid version. But really, the whole purpose of doing it is just so that we can use it for within our own process anyway.
Right, and you'll build a great product based on that, on just what you need in order to set this up. Yeah, I've used Lead Pages for it, but it's not what you're talking about. Lead Pages just provides you the ability to have that pop-up opt-in based off of anything. You still have to create either the text area or the image that is on the blog post itself, and then connect it to Lead Pages, and then connect Lead Pages to your email provider. So you're just kind of doing it like it in one.
Yeah, basically the way this is going to work is like it's a WordPress plugin. So you'll be able to have a WordPress short code that you can put in any blog post to create the call to action. There'll be a couple of options to set like the design of that call to action. And then whatever text you put in there, you click the link. That creates a pop-up. You can customize the text of the pop-up. That'll have an opt-in form, and then you define the email that gets sent to the user, so that you can immediately send them the content upgrade.
Right.
And that email's like based on the template that you write in the plugin, and then you can like integrate it with whatever email provider you're using, so that yes, they get the content upgrade, and that's sent. You know, through the plugin, but they're also getting added to your list, and you can get them into a sequence.
Oh, I see. I see. Because that's one of these tricky things that you only find out once you start doing it. You're like, you want someone to download, let's call it a PDF, you know, of tricks or tips or whatever the hell it is. And then you actually go to implement it, and you have to send them an opt-in email first. Like, click here to opt in, and then I can send you the PDF. And you're like, but I don't want to do that. I want them to get the PDF right away, but then also add them to the list.
Right.
It's a tricky interaction between those two things.
Right, right. If you think about the way that something like Gravity Forms works, or any contact form plugin works, you can have a form which automatically sends the user an email back. And that's essentially what this does. You know, that
just sends
like,
them.
We're just, it's just a form, and like it's an entry form, and it's sending a response back. And in the process, you know, you're also passing that info onto a list, download as a CSV, or just integrate it into a Drip or a MailChimp or something.
Right. All right.
So that's what we're building. So what I did about a week ago, I'm actually working with a developer who I'm hiring through Odesk, and I went the route of I actually hired three different developers to do. So I wrote the specs for the whole plugin. I did a bunch of screenshots, used Balsamiq, but then I stripped that down to like 10% of what the plugin will be. And that 10% of the plugin is like the trial project, which cool. should take the developer about 5 to 6 hours to knock out.
So you can see
and the, I gave the that quality. Project. Yeah, so I gave that project to three different developers and paid them all to build that super stripped down version of this, and got, you know, pretty good versions sent back, and it was just clear that one guy was far and away. I mean, the plugin was perfect, done to specs, but what's most important to me is that his communication was like spot on, answered my questions like to the word, you know, responded back to me within 24 hours. Everything was just like rock solid. So I'm really excited about that. So now he's, I've given him like the complete specs document and all the screenshots and everything, and he's running with that right now. So I'm waiting for that to move forward.
Nice, man. Rock and roll.
Yeah. So that's basically the story on Audience Ops, and then just another, you know, quick update. The Productize course has been doing really well in the last, so right now we're in early June. So I looked at May, and May was actually the best month. It wasn't the best month in terms of total sales, but it was the best month yet for Productize in terms of sales that came in not through a big promotion.
Right. That's the whole thing. If you worked your butt off all day on promoting it, you know, you can make sales, but can you make sales without that huge time commitment on an ongoing basis?
Yeah, exactly. So about 2 months ago, I implemented a bunch of new email automation stuff. When subscribers get, you know, join the list and they start to get into different sequences and tagging and different things like that. And I think now that we're 2 months into that, I'm definitely starting to see that pay off quite a bit. I'm really excited about how. I think that combined with, you know, like traffic has been increasing and email opt-ins have been increasing. So that helps as well. But it's also just like targeted people who really resonate with the stuff seem to really come into my audience now based on like some of the podcasts I've been doing and articles and things like that. So
yeah, that smart passive income episode must have attracted a bunch of new people. It's just a completely different audience.
That did, and that itself generated a handful of sales, and you know, we can track that because it's like the SPI coupon code.
Right.
But actually, there have been more sales in May, not like just natural sales, like not from SPI. It's possible that they might have heard me through SPI, but they didn't use that coupon code.
Right.
So that's just been really exciting to see.
What I'm
looking ahead to doing, I mean, right now I'm completely focused on Audience Ops, but later in the year, what I'd like to do is carve out a month or two to really update Productize. I want to update a bunch of the lesson material with a lot of new material, especially based on things that I'm learning as I'm building Audience Ops. Because now that I'm doing this the second time around, I'm moving like 100 times faster than I moved with Restaurant Engine.
Right.
But number two, this is much more like a literally a productized consulting business. So there are a lot of things, like even in the way that I write procedures, I'm finding I'm doing things a little bit differently than I used to. So that and also especially on the marketing side as well, I want to get some new lessons integrated into Productize in that sense. Definitely got to do a bunch of interviews with some Productize people in the community because some people have been doing some exciting stuff. So I want to get some interviews, like case study interviews, integrated in there, you know, maybe a few extra templates and things like that. So probably end of this year, I'll be looking to update all that kind of stuff.
What I'm interested in is your update a few months from today on price. Because I know you've already done some adjustment on the price, and you're just providing a lot of freaking value. And I'm very curious to see if you can make margin that you're happy with based on the current pricing.
And I'm curious, because I think you can too.
Right. You can raise prices, but you don't, just because you can doesn't mean you should, unless it starts to not pay off enough in the margin.
Right. Right, exactly. And you know, the interesting, so this is part of what I'm really, really focused on right now. Because again, we're right at the end of the first month, and we're now only because we do a lot of like customer research early on for our clients. So
right
now, like this week, we're actually starting to publish their articles.
Cool.
For the first time. And we're getting into the rhythm like this week and next week and the weeks coming up, where I'm going to actually be able to see, okay, what does it cost us to produce one article for a client?
Right. All in, not just how much I pay the writer.
Not just the article, but all the pieces that we provide. Yep. And so it's going to take me probably at least another month or two to get that nailed down and to understand what the costs are. But I mean, so far I think the margins are definitely working out. But a lot of the early feedback that I heard from people and the indications are, you know, the prices will raise at some point. But at the same time, I do want to make it a strong value proposition. I think it is a strong value proposition right now for
the types of
clients that we're working with. And the people who've come on board now, I'm really happy with them as the target client. Like some of them are friends that I've already known. Some of them I'm just getting to know now. And I just really like working with this type of company, this size of company. I think they're a great fit in order to get the return on investment. Like I think they would really benefit from something like this. So
yeah.
If we can make the current pricing work, I like it. And if it goes up a little bit, that might happen too.
Right. I also think it's going to be hard to compete with that value proposition and that you're positioned rightly to do it, because all the procedural work that you did with Restaurant Engine to make that work in terms of margin, now the fact that you're doing that, I mean, I look at your pricing and I say, if I hire a writer to write two blog posts, I'm almost spending as much money as what you offer. That's a lot more than two blog posts, a lot more. So it's almost like, how the hell can he make that work? But if you get good at the systems and processes in place, then it becomes a proposition where I shouldn't hire a writer to write two blog posts. I should just hire you. It's almost like the same amount of money and you get so much more. And it seems like magic. How could you possibly be making good margin? But on the back end, if you get good at it, you build your own plugin to be able to do things properly and efficiently. And you know, that's how I can see it kind of developing over the next few months. You just get better at it, and you might not necessarily need to raise prices to make more margin. You might just get better at squeezing out more margin.
Yeah, I mean, I think only time will tell at this point. I'm just this is my second time doing this, so I'm really understanding now for the first time how beneficial that is. Like I was nervous. You heard me a couple months back on an episode talking about moving on to the next thing. I'm not sure if now's the time, not sure if I'm ready to do something new, but like now that I'm really in it and doing something here, it's like, what, now I realize, okay, this is what it's all about, because I can move 100 times faster. I am moving so much faster, just putting certain pieces in place that took me years to put in place before, you know? I mean, and there's certainly a whole bunch of new things that I'm learning and figuring out and, you know, kind of the hard way. But it's, you know, I know exactly what needs to be done now and just kind of trying to execute without running out of hours in the day, you know.
Cool, man. Well, great update episode. Looking forward to getting back on track, you know, being back into the weekly publishing mode. Thanks to everyone for the podcast, the iTunes reviews. I guess we should wrap it up. Our 20-minute update episode turned into 45 minutes, but I think it was kind of I think it was good.
Yep. Good stuff, Jordan. So we'll catch up next week.
All right. See you, everyone. Have a good week.
All right. See you later.